Happy Black History Month from Public Words Project. The podcast you're about to listen to has been done over the phone. It's a little rough, so please be patient. The interviewee is Andre Day of Washington, D.C., who has a podcast called Black in Business, and he's been interviewing Black professionals here in the United States. So please take a listen. Be a little patient with us because the technology was a little rough, but listen in and enjoy Mr. Andre Day. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to Public Words Project here in Los Angeles. I have a special guest today from the East Coast, Andre Day. Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me, Miss Emery. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you, brother. I really do. So your name, the first question is, what is your name? Your name is Andre Day. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your name? How did you get it?
Yes, actually, that is a great question because I'm a junior. So
okay. This
is probably going to be the first time that I say my entire name, and then I'll explain why.
Okay.
My full name is Andre Richard Day Jr. And for the longest time, I was not comfortable with my middle name. So I would just leave it as an R and not tell anybody and keep it a secret. But as I got older, I guess I got more comfortable with the middle name. And quite honestly, if I left it out, to me, then I really wasn't a junior. So there you have it. If anybody listens to this podcast and you were my friend back in the fifth grade and I never told you what it is, well, there you go. Now you have it.
Just share the full name one more time for us.
Yes, it is Andre Richard Day Jr.
There you go. That's a good name.
Yes.
It must be nice to be called Mr. Day. I would actually like being called Miss Day. That's kind of a cool last name.
Well, right now, yes, it is. But when I was younger, people would make fun of the name and go, oh, how's your day, Mr. Day? And how's nighttime and day and night? And then I got older like, hey, I'm 14. Those jokes are not funny anymore. Like, let that go. So.
Some of us mature, some of us don't. I would still be cracking those jokes, but well, thank you for that. Yeah. So this whole thing is just, you know, the whole process with Public Words Project, this podcast, is just getting to know you, and getting so that people can get to know you, learn from you, model after you, or you can mentor or mentee from the podcast. I mean, it's just about getting comfortable and getting to know you. So if someone listens to you, they can learn from your experience and your growth and where you're coming from and where you're going. So
awesome.
Is that good for you?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Excellent, excellent. So getting to know you, where did you grow up?
Well, I was actually born in Brooklyn, New York, and lived there till about 12 years old. And then my mom, right before my little sister was born, guy that she was with at the time, he got a job and a promotion to move him out to the DMV area. And she was just like, yeah, sure, I'll, you know, move with you. And I had no choice but to go at that age. So I live in the DMV area, and I've been here ever since about the eighth grade. So Brooklyn to DC.
Nice. I love Brooklyn. I love Brooklyn, New York. I love New York. I love DC. So you're in two of my favorite cities. I'm jealous during the spring and summertime, but not so much right now.
Oh, definitely not. And people don't understand. I still struggle with this now. Is people out in DC say, oh man, it's cold. It's so cold. It's 12 degrees. I'm like, have you ever been in the single digits? And they go, no. I'm like, well, go to New York today, and I'm pretty sure single digits will be there in 24 hours. Then tell me it's cold. So
yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. Really, like the ocean freezes over there. The ocean freezes. That's how cold it gets. So
definitely.
So we knew where you grew up. Tell me a little bit about your family. I mean, how many kids are in your clan? How many people are in your
family? In my family, there's my little brother and my little sister. At the time I was an only child. And then again, as my mom was, you know, dating somebody at the time, they had my sister, and I felt pretty amazing at that time, because not only was I going to be able to have somebody that I can like relate to and kind of teach and help mm-hmm. with questions and things of that nature. But I was also kind of sitting back saying, man, I'm going to be a big brother. Like, I really have to start being what a big brother should be. And then after that, my mom had my little brother and my little sister. She is 12 years younger than I am. And my little brother is about 14 years younger than I am. So although there is a large gap in between age, I'm there to, you know, provide them with support or answer questions that they have. And also just let them know, hey, you're already headed in this direction. Do this, and maybe I can help you not go down that path. And it's not often that they steer the wrong way, but just the little pockets of life that happens, I'm there to, you know, kind of support them. And me personally, as myself, I don't have any children. I'm not in a rush to do so. I think it'll happen at the right moment with the right person. So I'm really just trying to enjoy this, I guess, quote unquote, single life from children as much as I can.
Yeah, because it's going to come, and when it comes, it's going to come hard and heavy, and it's going to take over as, all good parents in your life, right? So it sounds like you like this kind of mentor relationship in your biological family. Do you mentor and support people around you? Is that something that's in your nature?
Outside of work, I don't do any mentoring or anything. But while I at my full-time job, I do work in the student support department. So, so it's not like directly mentoring. Like, I don't have any mentees, but with the college that I work in, if a student has any questions or needs advice or anything of that nature, I can definitely, you know, provide them with any answer that I have, or if I don't have the answer, I definitely equipped to point them in the right direction and give them resources. So I guess the answer to the question is yes, but I don't do it outside of work.
So, Mr. Day, let me ask you this. So I know you you work at a university and you also have a podcast.
Yes.
So Black in Business, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So when you grow up, what's the dream here? What do you want to grow? What's the next step? What's the, like, when I grow up, I want to be step action going on here?
Well, at the moment, I would say because Black in Business is fairly new, it started a month ago. Right now, I would say I'm still in the, thank you, appreciate it. I'm still in the, I guess, baby stages of it. So I'm really just kind of going with the flow, and each and every person I interview and all the information that I get, I'm trying to take little tidbits from it and let that help me design kind of where I'm going to take the, I guess, ultimate goal of it. But the entire reason for the podcast is I believe that as minorities and as African-American people, we don't get as much help and resources when we want to start our own business. And that covers a wide range of issues as far as money to start your business, people to back you and kind of give you some resources for free, because this is your first time, you know, going into business for yourself. We don't get much, what am I looking for? We don't get much handouts for somebody to say, hey, you're starting your business, let me help you out, I've done this before. So with that podcast, I'm looking to kind of open up that door to, number one, help the people who have already started their business, and also give the listeners an idea as to what they can do if they want to start their own business, and if they have started the process, kind of give them that little nudge and push to say, hey, don't quit. You can keep going because, hey, this person did it. You can do it.
I totally
get
that. And also
for the resources, just kind of say, if you had an issue with, you know, funding your business, how did you do that? And then the people listening can kind of follow those same steps.
Good. Well, we're going to jump back into that in a little bit. I want to get through some more questions, but I want to focus on your podcast because I want people to start listening. And I have some great suggestions or people I want to connect you to, and we'll mention their names later in the podcast. Awesome. So Okay, so your favorite, let's go to the question. So what is your favorite childhood memory coming up?
Wow, favorite childhood memory? Mm-hmm. I would have to say visiting my dad every summer. As growing up, my mom and dad didn't stay together. So okay. I kind of had the best of both worlds, I guess, because I can, out of the summer, stay with my mom for half of the summer, and then for the remaining part, go to my dad's house. And my dad's wife had, you know, other children. So instead of me just kind of being the only child, I now had siblings that I could, you know, kind of go to the pool with and take vacations with. So when I didn't want to be bothered, stay with my mom, be the only child, kind of get everything I want. And then when I got bored of that, I said, hey, mom, I want to go to my dad's house. Can you set that up? And then I'd be with my brothers and sisters for the remainder of that time. So I would say as a child, being able to have the best, kind of be by myself when I wanted to, but then also visit siblings and, you know, have fun with them as well.
Had best of both worlds. Best of both worlds. That's awesome. That's great.
Yes. Yes.
Good memory. So growing up, what was your biggest struggle growing up?
Wow, that is a very deep and great question.
Thanks.
Well, you stumped me with that. Let's see. Biggest struggle growing up. I would have to say once I understood something and I knew that it was the right way to do it, why are other people not able to follow those same steps? For example, I remember always shopping with my mother. And again, because I was an only child, I would get, you know, toys and clothes and things without really having to ask for them because my mom would always make sure I had what I needed. But I started to notice, like, hey, if you're working and you're doing what you have to do to make sure I eat and have clothes on my back and things of that sort, why are there people out there who are not able to do the same thing? Like when I go to school, I see children who are struggling even more than we are. And I thought we were kind of on the struggle. So what is it that's the difference between what you're doing and what their parents aren't doing? So I really struggled with the fact of if you're working hard, why isn't everyone else able to work hard as well? Another example would be living in New York and walking down the street with my mother. She always made sure that she looked her best. No matter where we went, she always, you know, did her best to look as best as she could. And I had an issue with men catcalling her. So I remember one instance where a gentleman, you know, said her, you know, hey, beautiful, or whatever he was saying. And without even having a second thought, I may have been like 5 or 6 years old, I turned around and I said, what'd you say? That's my mother. Watch your mouth, whatever, whatever. And she goes, boy, don't say that. That's an adult. And I go, but mom, that's disrespectful. Like, he don't know who you are. He don't know, you know, what's going on. How can he just kind of call out you like that? That's like disrespectful. And she's like, well, you can't speak to adults like that. You have to respect your elders. In the back of my mind, I'm saying, well, he's not an adult. He's not an elder. Number one, because he's on the street kind of standing there all day. Number two, he just kind of disrespected my mother. And any man would tell you, you don't disrespect your mom, but just kind of that moment was like a struggle of why men catcall women out of their name or just kind of out of disrespect. So it really took a lot for me growing up to understand that aspect.
Okay, well, that's a pretty detailed answer. I like that, and it shows. And you're a gentleman, and you have a lot of respect for women and your mother. I can tell already. So thank you for sharing that part, because you know. That's an interesting situation, even to this day, that kind of sexual politics and then, you know, respect for elders. So it's a fine dance. So thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. And also to add, I think not.
Hello.
Hi, Andrea. I'm sorry that happened. It just went, just cut out. So you were, and I'll edit this portion. So, you were saying, what was the part that you were sharing before we lost touch?
Yes, I was saying that with me growing up, again, as a, you know, with a single parent, not being the guy to, I guess, call out to women and, you know, catcall them in that nature, I think growing up, it turned me into a shy person when it came to myself to women and kind of approaching them. So I usually take the back seat and I really just take my time. I'm not the aggressive type, I guess. So it really took a lot for me to learn how to, you know, kind of speak up for myself and approach someone, whether it's just introduction, just as general, or if I'm, you know, like interested in somebody. So I think it had like the adverse effect. That, you know, a little bit of background to myself.
So I'm going to ask you this next question because it ties in. So were you shy as a child? And is, so from youth to where you are right now, as, I mean, childhood to this point right now, were you shy and did you have to outgrow that? Or are you, tell me about you or yourself. Are you shy or outgoing, introverted, extroverted? Let's chat about that.
Yes, as a child, I would say I was shy. And I think it has something to do, again, with me being an only child. I really stayed to myself, and if I wanted to play, I played with my toys, and it was just me. So I would say I was shy. Now, I wasn't a person that wasn't approachable. Like, you can definitely approach me, and I'll start talking to you, and, you know, we can have a great conversation. But I
That's a good
shy
point.
In the sense of I wouldn't be the first one to approach someone else. And I would say that was really how I was up until maybe junior year in high school. And then I started to kind of open up a little bit more. But as the social settings got a little bit more personable, as I got into my adult age, I went backwards and got shy again. You know, but meeting more people and talking to people and kind of using a little bit of what other people do and what their techniques are, I would say I'm a little bit more open now, but in some cases I'm still a little shy, and being in a room full of people, I, you know, kind of stand up to the corner and, you know, kind of observe my way through the crowd. So I would say I'm still a little shy, you know, and now and again.
So why do you think you went back to being shy when you had a portion where you were outgoing and less shy? Because you said in your early 20s you became shy again. What qualified that? What caused that? Do you know?
Maybe because I started hanging out in, I guess, more adult-type places. Because I guess I was comfortable in the places that I was hanging in, you know, as a teenager. And then once you turn, you know, 20 and 21 or so, you start to hang out in the, I guess, adult type areas and places and clubs and things of that nature. So it's a different atmosphere.
Right, it is. No, you're right. Right. So it's definitely adult.
Went backwards saying, oh, man, this is not the same. You can't have the same conversations. You can't start off with the same topics. You have to really start talking about something that an adult would talk about. So it really set, you know, took some steps back into my, I guess, shell. But once I got comfortable there, I started to open up a little bit. But there's still a little bit of shyness every now and again. So it's not completely gone. But every so often it does shed away every new venture, I guess, I cross over to.
That makes sense. It makes sense. And it sounds like you're being responsibility in your affect and your behavior. So good for you. So tell me, where did you go to school? Tell me a little bit about your schooling. Where did you go to school from youth to now?
Well, being in New York, I went up until the eighth grade. And then when I moved to Maryland, I finished eighth grade, which was like maybe 4 months remaining. So I kind of got pushed through at that point. But I did late middle school, all of high school in Maryland. And then I went to DeVry University, which is located in Virginia, studied business administration. And that's, you know, kind of up until the schooling, traditional schooling, I can say. But I also believe that I learn every day. So I'm still in school per se. but not in the traditional, you know, take a test and study and things like that. I'm just learning every day as I wake up and go to sleep. I'm picking up something new. So I would say I'm still in school right now.
So I guess we're going to stop right here. The technology kind of cut out on us. Andre Day is a gentleman and very, very patient through this process. We are going to schedule a phone call for the next day and see if we can collect some more answers. But for this podcast, this is going to be part one. I hope you enjoyed what Mr. Day had to say from the East Coast. Everybody keep warm and have a great day from Public Words Project.